Welcome to a very special episode of the McSauce Podcast. Though we are nerds on this show, and we used to love comic books, and we still watch comic book movies, we are also very ardent sports fans. Some of you are also sports fans. Some of you are not, and those of you that refer to football and hockey like sports ball, turn it off right now. This is not the episode for you. But tonight, we are talking Steelers football, baby!
Here we go.
They've had, apparently, me being such a more of a...
Do we have to do the whole episode in Pittsburghese?
Yeah. you too, for sure.
Oh, my God.
The Steelers, we are big sports fans. The Steelers have had a very active offseason so far. Kind of not quite tearing it down to the studs, but...
Uncharacteristically active.
Yeah, really, really moving some pieces around, and we're big Steelers fans, and Matt and Ian would love to talk about it.
Ian and I have not really discussed much when it comes to some of these seismic moves that they've made in the last week, and normally we do try to save it for the podcast, but... typically, when something this big goes down with the Steelers, Ian and I have some kind of discussion beforehand, but for whatever reason, we just haven't yet. So, Ian, I am curious about your take. Let's just cut right to it. The quarterback position. Tell the listeners what happened and what is your take on it.
So, last week, it was a furious week for the Steelers in the quarterback position. They got rid of everybody that was... in the locker room last year and brought in two.
What's that mean?
So they cut Mitch Trubisky right after the Super Bowl. He immediately went and re-signed with the Buffalo Bills. The next domino...
I guess it wasn't snowy enough here for him.
The next domino to fall was Mason Rudolph ended up signing a 1-year deal with the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, for $3 million.
Do the Titans have quarterback? Will he just be the backup there?
He might be the third stringer, depending.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm.
But he probably feels like there might be a better chance for him to just get a fresh start, new start, someplace else.
I think it was important for him to not play for Mike Tomlin anymore. Yeah. I feel like there was something going on there where Tomlin didn't think highly of him. That was always my impression while he was here, and certainly now that he's gone.
I think that towards the end of the season where Rudolph stepped in, played 4 games and then a playoff game, pushed us into the playoffs, really quality quarterback play.
Did
the best quarterback.
I thought he played 3 games.
3 games and then the playoff game. Yep. So over that span of time, I think it was undeniable that his play was much better than the other two quarterbacks that were on the roster. Just really bad self-scouting, self-assessment of that quarterback room. So Mason Rudolph signs elsewhere on Monday, or I guess
Friday.
It was Friday night or Saturday at midnight whenever Russell Wilson was signed.
Oh, no. No, that's going back even further.
Yeah, yeah.
That was I think that was the week prior, wasn't it?
So it wasn't this past Friday, but it was the Friday before. So Friday going into Saturday. Right at midnight or 12:30, I think. Russell Wilson put out a post saying that he was going to sign with the Steelers. It was right before the legal tampering period. So all these things couldn't necessarily be official until that took place. Because of the way that Russell Wilson's contract was through the Denver Broncos, they end up cutting him and paying him the guaranteed $38 million of his contract. And we signed him for, I don't know, 1.9 or something like that.
1.2?
Something, whatever the veteran minimum is. Yeah. Signed him to that deal. Seems like...
What constitutes a veteran, by the way? Just somebody that's
that
not
you
on
have
a rookie
to be,
contract?
I think if you have played in the NFL for, it's either 3 or 4 years, you're like a vested you know, member in the NFL. So that signing happened. I think that the information that was put out from the Steelers was that there was going to be a competition between Pickett and Wilson. Now, I don't think that that ever was really going to be the case, even if that was the lip service they were paying to it. Russell Wilson, to me, and he wasn't great last year. He wasn't peak Russell Wilson, throwing five touchdowns in a single game, that Russell Wilson. But he's still competent enough to throw 28 touchdowns, I think something like six interceptions, somewhere around there.
He was 26 touchdowns.
26 touchdowns?
Eight interceptions?
So somewhere around there. And he, that's even looking at the two games where he was benched in December, whenever they knew that they were going to part ways and they didn't want him to get injured because then they wouldn't be able to cut him, I think is probably why they benched him.
Yeah, I was always kind of curious why he got benched because his play wasn't that bad.
So then Kenny Pickett was like, fuck this.
So those are the reports, is that Kenny Pickett had an extremely bad reaction to getting some competition brought into the quarterback room, some real competition, somebody who I guess he didn't feel he could beat out. And from the outside, I think a lot of people didn't think he would be able to beat out.
But, I mean, he should at least be able to be self-aware enough to recognize he hasn't been very good.
Yeah, I mean, the raw numbers of what Kenny Pickett did, 13 touchdowns in his career as a Steeler, which spanned the better part of two seasons.
Yeah. Now,
I mean, that's not very good.
You want to, like, I've always thought, you know, what was the issue? Was it Kenny Pickett or was it the offensive coordinator? It seemed like we kind of had our answer at first when they fired Matt Canada. Pickett came out and had the best game of his career, threw for over 300 yards. We say over 300 yards like it's this gigantic milestone. Like, Ben Roethlisberger used to do that every game practically.
Yeah, in his sleep with, like, one leg.
Right.
But that is the difference between regular old quarterback, standard, even a good quarterback, and a Hall of Fame quarterback. Yeah. All of this, these past couple of years have really shined a light on, oh, that's what a Hall of Fame quarterback really, yeah, really looks
when
like.
When do NFL players, when are they eligible to be inducted?
Five years after they retire.
Are we coming up with, what, Ben has 2 years left?
Three? Because he retired 2 years ago? So
he's a first
he's
ballot.
Yeah, like, yeah, unanimous going to the Hall of Fame. Two Super Bowls, a third appearance. One of the only players to throw for, I think, back-to-back games of 500-plus yards. I think he is the only player to do that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just from those very...
Didn't he throw, like, five touchdowns and a half once?
Something like that. I know that I remember real vividly those two games. That it was one game against at home against the Colts, and then the following Sunday night it was against the Ravens, and he just...
Yeah, the old Colts.
Yes, yes, the Andrew Luck Colts. Just top level quarterbacking, which we haven't seen in quite a while. Before, I mean, Ben was still here for two additional years where he just really wasn't the same. So it's been quite a while since we've seen top level
really
quarterback
good,
play.
Yeah. Do the Steelers have that now?
Well, the other shoe to drop after Kenny Pickett sort of, you know.
Well, let's dissect that for a minute. So Paul, you said that Kenny Pickett didn't take it well, and he was like, fuck this. I'm not.
Seemed like he wanted out after that.
Right. Those are the reports, right?
That's the report. Yeah.
There was a report or a rumor during the season, the second to last week of the season, the Steelers had to go to Seattle to play the Seahawks. And the rumor was that Kenny Pickett, who was coming off injury, had decided himself he would not dress as a third string emergency quarterback because he felt that it was demeaning to him as the starter. He viewed it as essentially losing his job to injury, which typically sucks, right? But like everybody, unless you're like Tom Brady, can lose your job to injury if your replacement comes in and just lights it up. And when you set the bar so absurdly low, so historically low, then of course you can lose your job to injury if your backup isn't Mitch Trubisky. In this case, there was another. And it was Mason Rudolph, and he was like so much better. Like, it wasn't even close, Ian.
Yeah, it was night and day. You could see it looked like it highlighted how dysfunctional both of the other quarterbacks were because they couldn't put together, I mean, immediately, 300-yard game from Mason Rudolph. And even in like the driving rain down in Baltimore, he still put together, I forget what, didn't he have 18 or 19 completions in the driving, pouring rain?
Yes. Yeah. It was pretty impressive. I wasn't super thrilled to see him go because I feel like of the three guys that the Steelers had, he was the best. And maybe there was more to him than what the Steelers thought he had to offer.
It seemed like it, even to a less trained eye like my own. Once he got the job, I was like, oh, they're kind of fun to watch again.
It could have been also just the team rallying as well. That happens. It's like the same thing in hockey when the backup goalie goes in. Suddenly, oh, we're good at defense. It could have been one of those things where the team just sort of galvanizes and plays their best football.
Sometimes all it takes is a spark of hope. That's all you need.
Right.
And it seemed like this year was such a strange year as a fan. At some points, it was some of the most fun I've had watching the Steelers. But for, let's call it, probably 12 weeks, the most miserable I've been watching this
team. It was never fun to watch them. Even the games that they won always felt like losses.
So I think that when the two Mason Rudolph games, Seattle and the Bengals, both of those were fun, I thought. I had fun watching them.
The stakes were higher, so you're more invested, but offensively, they weren't fun performances. Like, there were moments here and there, but
I don't know. I mean, powerful running game on display in both of those, especially when I think about Seattle, and you got to see both of our running backs have really, really great, strong performances. And then there were glimpses of George Pickens had a pretty big game, while not statistic-wise. With the corner specifically, or against Seattle?
No, I'm sorry. It was against Seattle.
Yeah, he had a nice game. He had a couple of real big catches that I can remember off the top of my head. And
what was the game where he had like 100 and, 70
yards? That was against
yards.
The Bengals. He had like two back-breaking, game-breaking.
That was with Pickett being the quarterback, correct?
No, that was with Rudolph. That was the second game that we played the Bengals. We played them at home. It was after the three-game losing streak.
What was Pickett's good game without Matt Canada?
It was the Bengals game. It was the first time that we played the Bengals. So we played the Bengals, and then we played Cardinals, Patriots, Colts, Bengals, but by the time it went through that in the second Bengals game, that was Mason Rudolph.
No, okay, there was a game post Matt Canada.
It was a Bengals game.
The first Bengals
game. The first Bengals game.
Yeah. We got rid of him that early?
We didn't play the Bengals until like November, somewhere around there.
Yeah, but I thought they got rid of him with like a month to go. I guess it was earlier in the season than I'm remembering.
Yeah, I mean, he was gone.
Because we
still struggled after he left because of Pickett's injury.
That's right, because Mason Rudolph then played. That's right, yes. Or not.
There
Mason,
are two Trubisky games.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mitch Trubisky played, and he was terrible.
Yes.
And that's when the Steelers lost to the 2-10 Cardinals. Well, first the Patriots, right? 2-10 Patriots.
Cardinals first, Patriots next.
Okay.
Colts after that. In the Colts game, we just absolutely got hammered. I think there was a...
That was the second worst loss of the year. The first was when the 49ers thumped the Steelers in week one.
But I could put together in my head, like, okay, the 49ers, where are they going to be at the end of the season? Probably in the Super Bowl. Oh, they were. Like, we didn't
overtime in the Super Bowl.
We didn't belong in the same... We weren't in the same weight class as they were. But the fucking Cardinals, Patriots, and Colts, like, we're better than all of those teams.
It's like how... So the Penguins are also bad this season, mm-hmm. particularly bad since the trade deadline. But, you know, for my mom, hope springs eternal every game. And so now, like, the Penguins are bad and they're losing two bad teams, and she'll just be like, that team we beat was pretty bad, huh? And I'm like, yeah, they're fucking last in the league.
Meanwhile, the Penguins are like 5 points out of a playoff spot, which I can't believe, but...
There aren't very many games left, though, right?
No, like, what, less than a month.
But, like, if the Steelers want to be the Steelers, like, you can't drop those games to bad teams.
No, and but somehow they work their voodoo and still somehow losing the worst games that I've ever seen a Steelers team lose. The most embarrassing, just, it was embarrassing watching them play like that. And I've never felt like I've been upset, I've been angry, but it was just embarrassing. They just had no heart.
We were all basically saying, like, Tomlin might be time to go. And then, you know, by the end of the season, we're like, how about that Tomlin? He really, his players don't quit. He just doesn't let them.
Well, I mean, there has to be something to it if he's had such a string. And it never looked more bleak than what was going on in that three-game losing streak. I mean, it looked like they were ready to quit, lay down. Why
especially
not?
The
why
Colts
not?
Game.
You're on your third string.
Especially the Colts game.
Yeah. You're on your third string quarterback. Nothing's working on offense. You did something uncharacteristic and fired the offensive coordinator in the middle of the season.
They've been doing uncharacteristic things now for a couple years, if not a few years.
So
who's
what,
the GM? Kevin Colbert?
It's not Omar anymore. Khan is the GM.
But it was Kevin Colbert?
It was Colbert. And for the longest time, you know, I don't know, 20 plus years, we did certain things a certain way, and it dependably, we wouldn't be active in free agency. We would wait to get all the bargain basement pickups, and sometimes it worked really good, and sometimes that didn't work that well.
And what's interesting about Kevin Colbert is he seemed to put up, as a GM, he seemed to put up with a lot of crap from players that maybe make noise, you know, malcontents. Omar Khan has a very short fuse when it comes to dealing with malcontents. Oh, you don't want to be here, see ya. Which is exactly what happened.
So you don't like. So you've played for our team. Let's call it, I don't know, Deontay Johnson, 5 years or something like that. And we pay you well, and we got you a second contract. But you don't want to be here. Don't want to hustle. Don't want to try. We'll send you to Football Siberia. Welcome to Charlotte.
They sent him to the Panthers, like the most hopeless of franchises.
Kenny Pickett, you don't think that you should have to compete and that there's, you know, no way back for you to become a starter in the NFL. And well, okay, great. We're going to send you to a team where you have even less of a chance of jumping over this person. Because,
right, a team that has
now he's behind a legit young, number one.
A young franchise quarterback.
I think that Jalen Hurts might be younger than Kenny Pickett because Kenny Pickett was very old whenever he got drafted.
I think he's 2 months, unless I'm confusing this comparison with Justin Fields, but I think Kenny Pickett is 2 months older than Jalen Hurts.
I think he is. So he has absolutely no chance. I mean, that dude took him to the Super Bowl.
What'll happen is he'll ride out 2 more years. They won't pick up his fifth. Kenny will go be a backup elsewhere.
Yep.
Where maybe he has a better shot.
Yeah. Maybe one day he lands out in like Oakland or someplace
The only hope he has is if he gets in via injury and he performs well.
I don't like, I, it just, he, it he, irritates me that, like, just fucking learn, man. Learn from Russell Wilson, a legit veteran QB.
Be professional.
It's not even your, it's your third year.
Have humility. Have, look at it the way that it really is, not the way, you know, your ego tells you it is, but it seems like his hubris has absolutely sabotaged his career.
I remember when I threw 300 yards in an NFL game once. Easy peasy.
Yeah, yeah. You just, it's like paint by number.
Ian, what happened after they released Kenny Pickett?
So they traded Kenny Pickett to the Eagles for essentially a pick swap and us moving up in the third round, I believe.
In this year's draft.
In this year's draft, yes. And then we needed another backup quarterback. So we were back in the market for somebody that was, you know, young, that had a not, that we wouldn't have to spend a lot of draft capital or even real cash to get. And we brought in Justin Fields from Chicago, who
I thought he was their starter for a couple years, right?
He was their starter for three whole years. And
is he okay
he's
being a backup
he's
now?
Still younger than Kenny Pickett. Yeah. What's that?
Is he okay being a backup?
Well,
now?
Here's the thing. So his market fell pretty steeply over the past couple of months. They thought that they'll trade a number one for Justin. Maybe it'll be a number two. Maybe it'll be a number three. What the Steelers ended up doing was they traded a conditional sixth round next year. And if he plays over 50% of the snaps, then that sixth rounder turns into a fourth rounder for the Bears. Mm. So almost nothing.
Yeah,
his base salary is somewhere around $5 to $6 million a year. So we are paying nothing for the quarterback position between two capable and competent starters that have played for, you know, both of them have played for years.
Yeah.
One thing that I like what they're doing. I'm trying not to be blindsided with how exciting this is, because this is the most exciting free agent period that's ever happened to the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's never been like this. This is the craziest stuff that I've seen for almost any team. I don't remember a team blowing all their quarterbacks away and then bringing in the two quarterbacks.
I don't think they actually shot and killed them.
I mean, they blew the room up, right?
They blew it up.
And then
now,
bringing
according to Russell Wilson, the new one's on fire.
And then bringing in the two at the beginning of the offseason, hey, there's a lot of speculation. Will the Steelers bring in Russell Wilson or will they bring in Justin Fields? And they're bringing them both in. And that's crazy. I don't remember
never,
this ever
never
happening
thought
anywhere
it could
else.
Happen. Personally, I think the most unexpected thing of all was the release of Kenny Pickett.
I agree.
Or the trade, sorry. I didn't see that coming. I mean, he was only the quarterback for 2 years. The Steelers have not given up on a player, a first-round pick, this quickly since 1996.
Who was that first-round pick that they...
Jermaine Stevens.
That's right.
The
tackle?
He was an offensive tackle. Really big, but I think he came from like a real small school with like no pedigree, and he just... If I remember correctly, like he failed the run test, I was going to call it the summer camp run test, but I think it's
training camp. Happens to happen in the summer.
Right.
Yes. Summer camp is for children.
That's right. Oh, well, Kenny Pickett might do well there because he acted like a baby. According to reports and rumors, the rumor that, you know, where he refused to dress as the emergency third quarterback, in December last year, I thought, no, that doesn't sound right. But now it's been corroborated by, you know, some of the most respected Steelers football writers. And it aligns with the other thing that they said was that he was handling the signing of Russell Wilson very poorly. So it definitely seems to add up. And he requested the trade, correct?
I believe so. And I guess the Steelers did him a solid and sent him to his, you know, favorite childhood team. So But it professionally, it isn't really something that's going to benefit him. I think the best, I don't know if it would have been the best thing, though. At this point, maybe it is time to just have a fresh start for him, for the Steelers. That's what I kind of like about them making a move this soon.
They recognize it. It's not going to get better.
Yep, they made a mistake. Hey, we shouldn't have picked this guy in the first round, 20th overall. We made a mistake. And I like them identifying the mistake and just moving on as soon as they possibly can.
Yeah, totally.
With any mistake that you make, the sooner that you fix it and say, hey, this is messed up,
yeah,
the better you usually are.
Yep. So you said you're liking the, you know, this offseason. The Steelers also picked up some other needs, middle linebacker, safety. They got a new cornerback in the trade with Deontay Johnson. Like, they are getting pieces that they needed. And they're getting rid of unhappy malcontents. Like, the team is becoming better through subtraction by itself, but then the replacement pieces are like pretty good.
They're all guys who want to be here and are, you know, pretty fired up. You know, for as much as, you know, Tomlin has his ups and downs and struggles, there's one thing that all, it seems like, based on a survey that was taken, all the NFL players agree on. They really like Mike Tomlin. And one of the reasons why Patrick Queen, who was at the top of the linebacker market, and we got him for what experts say is a reasonable contract, maybe even a little bit below market. Patrick Queen said that Mike Tomlin is the reason why I'm here. I think that we have a chance to win. I couldn't go back to Baltimore. I love this rivalry. And since I have been in the NFL, Mike Tomlin has always told me when he would see him, hey, you're not a Raven. You don't belong over there. You belong over here with us. And, you know, maybe he really believed that. Maybe that was something that he was saying, but it all came back around, and Tomlin, like, doing that psychological warfare, I guess, really worked in our favor, because we got a piece that we've been looking for since Ryan Shazier got hurt.
Since 2017, right?
It's a long time to not have a strong, you know, presence in the middle of the field.
Do you guys want to cap this with some polynomics of the upcoming Steelers season?
Are we predicting like a record or do we just give
classic
it
classic polynomics, expectation and excitement? Maybe we do this again around training camp, and you know, you can, you know, state how they're going to finish.
Yeah. Ian, would you like to go?
Sure. So my excitement, that's an easy one. 10. I'm pumped up, man. When has it ever felt like this in March ever before?
Were you pumped going into this past season?
Yeah.
I was.
Yeah, I was excited.
Were you excited for that as well?
You saw preseason. Kenny Pickett was slinging it.
Yeah.
I mean, I was excited. And maybe that's partially my yinzer nature. I don't know.
I think if the offseason moves were the exact opposites of what they did, he would still be a 10.
This is uncanny what they're doing here. They've never done anything like this. No team has
to
ever...
To me, my Steelers.
...has ever done anything like this. Omar Khan sitting in a little hover chair. He's got the bald head rocking. So. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty excited. Now, expectation. So that's what we're really talking about, though. What do I expect from the Steelers? I expect probably the same as what we've seen over the past couple years. Maybe one game. Maybe we win one more game. Well, we won 10 games this year. I say maybe we win 11 games. Or we win 10 games, but we don't have to. I think it's going to be a little bit different this year. I don't think it's going to be we have to win the last game of the season and get some help. I think we'll be 5-6-4, some like seed in the playoffs, somewhere in there, and be comfortably in the playoffs. I don't know if we're gonna win a game, but comfortably in the playoffs is what I think. So I don't know. I'd call that a 7 on a scale of 1 to 10.
that.
So wait, comfortably in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not going to be like it's been the past couple of times where we qualified, where we have to have help, we have to win. I think that we're going to be in the playoffs, like, locked and loaded, 4, 5, 6, somewhere in there for November into December. I don't think it's going to be a question if we're going to make the playoffs, just where we're slotted. And I think it's going to shake out where we're like the 4th seed.
Are we
going to
compete for the division?
Probably, yeah, because the fucking Ravens can't beat us, and all their guys aren't on their team anymore. They can't pay everybody, and sure, they have Lamar and they have Derrick Henry, but a lot of their team has left.
That surprised me, by the way, because, I mean, like, he's on the downside of his career, and they have Dobbins.
But Dobbins can't stay healthy. He's torn up his knees, like, 3 out of 4 years. They let go of Gus Edwards. He went to San Diego. Mm. So maybe they're thinking, hey, maybe we can mix Dobbins and Henry. And Henry does seem like he's an outlier. Sure, he's 30, but he looked really good last year. Yeah. So.
My expectations, you know, it's funny because they might end up with the exact same record, maybe a win more, maybe even a loss more, but they're going to look better. Remember how I said it felt like every game that the Steelers won never felt great? It was almost like I would revel in a victory on Sunday when the Steelers would win, and I would just read all the articles that I can about it and just enjoy it and replay it, you know, in my head. Be excited about what they accomplished and what maybe they're going to be able to do next week as a result.
I think we're going to have a lot of games where maybe we'll jump out 14-0, or but we're also going to have those games where, I don't know, maybe Russell Wilson throws a bunch of picks or fumbles the ball away or takes a bunch of ill-timed sacks, or maybe Justin Fields gets in there and throws a pick. We're going to have more mistakes, but the boom or bust factor, the big plays, the like functional, enjoyable offense, that's going to be there next year.
Yeah, and I think just the simple fact that they're going to score more points should lead to more victories. It's also going to help them have more time of possession, which will help the defense and allow them to perform better. So much of the success of the team in the last couple of years has been put just exclusively on the defense, and that just isn't going to be the case now. At least it doesn't seem like that'll be the case. I'm excited because the Steelers could potentially mix it up offensively and put both of those quarterbacks on the field at the same time, given their distinctly different skill sets.
So from what I understand, they kind of have similar skill sets, but Russell Wilson, the difference is Russell Wilson is a little bit more accurate, less athletic now.
Yeah.
And yeah, but people have been saying that this is like a Gemini Man situation where, or Looper, where you have the old version of Russell Wilson is on our team, but also Fields is like a young version of him.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I guess that's really what I meant, but like vastly different skill sets in the fact that Justin Fields can run for 1,000 yards in a season. Mm. Russell Wilson can't.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the early to mid-90s with Cordell Stewart before he became the quarterback on the Steelers, and they used him in the slash role. I don't know if Justin Fields can catch the ball, but be creative. Do cool things. Use the weapons that you have on your team to do good things. That excites me. New offensive coordinator and getting rid of pissy babies, I think, is a good thing. We all saw Deontay Johnson quit on that play last year. When he did that, I was like, okay, you're done. You're not a Steeler. And then the way that he even talked about it, like he was so dismissive of his, he didn't own it. Just go. Good riddance.
Get
out of here. So my excitement is It's probably a 10 as well.
Yeah.
I mean, if look, if you weren't going to have, if you were ever going to have a 10 for excitement, it's going to be this offseason that does it, right?
Yep.
So, my expectation, I don't know what the final record's going to be. I'm going to say same record, 10-7.
10-7.
But they're going to look way better. They're going to be more dangerous, and they will win a playoff game.
Ooh, you heard it here, folks.
Bold predictions, everyone. Thanks to everyone for tuning in to Steelers Talk.
Oh, yeah.
This was a lot of fun. My name is Paul McGinty.
Ian Sharpley.
Matt Cassell.
We'll see you next time.